Split show for you tonight. Maureen St. Germain with us. We talk about her work, Be a Genie. And when we come right back, we shall talk more on Coast to Coast AM. Maureen St. Germain with us. Maureen, let's talk a little bit about mass consciousness before we go to the phone calls here. You're a believer in it as well. You wrote a part of a segment in Be a Genie on mass consciousness. But how does it work?
What I understand from my guidance, that mass consciousness is a energetic field that we all contribute to. And I often refer to it as part of that is what I call autopilot. So mass consciousness has programming, mass consciousness feeds what I will call autopilot. What people do collectively goes into it, and we can unhook selectively from it. We wouldn't want to unhook completely from it because I don't know what would happen, but mass consciousness is a status quo that runs the system that we call the reality.
Now, you got to explain that more.
Okay. So the reason I refer to mass consciousness in the book is because I have found that people think that they have to do things a certain way because that's how things have always been done. And when they realize that they can consciously choose to unhook from the mass consciousness and to think something different, then it allows them to have a different outcome. You know, when I first decided I wanted to become certified as a facilitator of the Merkaba teaching, they weren't even training any more people, and some kind of agreement had been made that there wouldn't be any more teachers so that the teachers that were out there had enough work. And they announced that in the intro class that I went to. And I frankly ignored it. I thought, that doesn't apply to me. They're not talking to me. So that's what I mean. I pulled myself out of mass consciousness. And then, you know, when I found out that one of the requirements was to take the course a second time, I took the course a second time, even though they still had not changed the rule. And the instructor said to me, why are you taking it a second time? Didn't you get it? And I said, no, I got it. And I didn't want to tell him because I didn't want him to tell me, you know, you're not going to make it. And so he pressed. So I said, okay, fine. I'm intending to be a facilitator. And he gave me his little spiel. And I said in response, that's your version of the reality. I choose a different one. 9 months later, I was certified. And that guy, I taught for 20 years. He retired after a couple of years.
All right, let's take some calls here for you, Maureen. Michael in Tucson, Arizona, get us started here, Michael. Thank you.
I was just wondering, you feel as though you can influence the time stream?
The time? Yes, I have influenced the time. And I've created pockets, if you will, in time to get something accomplished.
How would you influence that, Maureen?
Well, I'll give you an example.
All right.
My son's graduation, and he was going to the college for his orientation the very next morning. And like any parent, I said to him, I know you have graduation tonight, but I don't want you partying all night because you got to catch a plane at 6 a.m. And he said, Mom, there is no way I'm not going to party. And I said, I know. I just had to tell you that so you knew where I stood. So I said, I'm not going to wake you up. 6 a.m., I wake up, and that's when he's supposed to be on a bus. And I literally opened up a portal energetically. And again, this is through the training that I teach people on how to do this. I'm not teaching it on the show. And I created a space where we could open the window and he could be where he needed to be. So we got in the car and drove 45 miles to the place where he was supposed to catch the bus. Apparently, the bus was running late. One of the things that I teach people when you're doing this kind of work is stop looking at the clock. Because if you look at the clock, then you're anchoring back into 3D. Because what you're doing is you're slipping into the quantum soup, kind of like in the Matrix. You know, when you're in the Matrix, you act as if that's real, like in the movie. But then when you're out of the Matrix, you recognize it's not real and you have control over it. You know, there's a great story in my book that came from Deepak Chopra, and he talks about miners who were caught behind a rock fall and knew that they had about 2.5 days worth of time. And only one man had a timepiece, and he started keeping track of the time. And what he did on his own is he decided to make the time double. So for every 2 hours that went by, he said only 1 hour went by. and they were rescued at 3 days. Now, I did the math because I'm thinking, how can this be? And the math works out, and there was only one person that died.
So he gave them some kind of inspirational hope.
But the thing is, people don't know the passage of time, and we use clocks to measure it. But, you know, Newton thought that time was mechanistic, and we all thought in that era that time was mechanistic. But what I know from my experience is that time is elastic, and we can choose to experience, like, slowing down a video, or we can speed it up. I mean, you know, think about when people have been in car accidents, and they suddenly, everything goes in slow motion, and they can see everything that's happening as it's happening. How is that possible? And the answer is because time is not mechanistic like we used to think.
Tell me a little bit.
To do our manifestation work.
Tell me about your thoughts about people who lose it. You know, they're angry and you think they need to clean up their energy. What do you happen to them? What happens there?
Well, there's a couple of things. Right now, it's a law right now in the universe that there is no more entities that are allowed to be here. But you and I, anybody who drives a car or a vehicle, we all break the speed limit. We're not allowed to, but we do it. How is it that entities can be here when they're not allowed? And that's the answer. They're still here because they haven't left. There's two reasons why beings, souls without a body, are here. They're either don't know they're dead, or they have some unfinished business. They either have anger that they want to work out, or they have, you know, some concern about a family member. So in the case of anger, I worked with a client who had an angry entity in her. She didn't know it. It turns out that her best friend's daughter had died prematurely, was angry at God that she was leaving, you know, giving up her life so soon. Sure. And when the lady died, she moved into the best friend, and the best friend turned into this angry maniac. After a few months go by and I show up and I see this, I said to her, you know, I can help you with that. I can help you clear that. And so we did a process that's in one of the books I've written called Reweaving the Fabric of Your Reality. And she said to me later, I felt like a load had been lifted off my shoulders. And that whole anger thing went away. So one of the things that I have been shown is that when you, a person, is observing someone in your workplace, in your family, that is showing extreme anger, if you have them cleared, and this can be done, if a person is cleared, then that reason to be this angry isn't there anymore. Because, you know, the entity just wants, entities don't tell time. So whether they're in you for 2 minutes or 2 years doesn't matter to them. They're just looking for a way to have that experience. And when you don't have a body, you can't have emotional expression. But if you go out with a will and a desire for that, and you miss the gate, you know, like in Ghost, you miss that window of opportunity, then you can hunt around for somebody who's open and willing to do this for you. Maybe you don't even know that person has compromised, but you can see it in the way they behave.
How long did it take you to cleanse that person, to get that anger out of them?
A few minutes.
That's it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. In fact, I have a whole team now of people that do this work for me remotely.
Let's go to Carmina in Watsonville, California, west of the Rockies. Good morning, Carmina.
Good evening, George.
Hi.
And this is so on the spur of the moment, but so needed to be to the coast-to-coast people listening in. I was on my way to see a very close friend for her birthday and anniversary, which would have been Tuesday. I was on this highway, 101, which to me is death highway.
I've been there, yeah.
And I rolled my car. There was somebody tailgating me, and I couldn't go any faster. I was in the right lane, and somehow, some way, the car veered off the road.
Oh, boy.
And it was into a construction site where they had the gravel set before they would put tarmac on it. They were expanding the lanes, and my car flipped because it hit a berm or a pile of dirt, a big row of dirt. And that slow motion thing is just how I described it. It is
excellent.
And I left the car. I was able to get out. There was a good Samaritan, and then came a sheriff. I lost the love of my life in April, right in front of me in the house, a massive heart attack. And I know that that was not the seatbelt holding me, because I would have been jerked around from the flip. It was like somebody was holding me and talking me through this whole thing, and that everything was going to be okay. Nice. My reason for calling is I'm 71 years old, and God gave me another chance. There's a reason I'm here. I've been listening to your show for many years, for as long as you're on the air, and before that it was Art.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And I feel like I have a mission here. I live in the Monterey Bay area. And hearing this woman speak, I want to learn what it is that will keep me in touch with my higher self.
Well, Maureen, you also have the ability beyond Be a Genie to help other people, too. Don't you have a download for people, a free one?
I do. And the free download is available if you type in www.geniesystem.com. It'll take you right to the download page. And that'll save you a few minutes if you want to do that. Now, I'd be happy to answer the question. The way to learn how to work with your higher self, and then you can ask questions about your own direction, is to look up the material called Higher Self 101. And I have lots of material on my website for that. And it's also the subject of two chapters in an earlier book that I wrote called Beyond the Flower of Life.
Well, you've helped a lot of people. How did you decide to start helping people? Was there an event in your life that said, it's time?
No, actually there wasn't. I think I was on mission from the time I was a little kid. I grew up on a farm, you know, and something got into me, and I had to go to Mass every morning before I got my farm chores started. I found a cassette tape that I had made when my firstborn was nursing, and he had fallen asleep while I was making this recording, and he'd woken up, and so the recording had this voice, and that's how I knew what the generation was of this tape. And I was saying even then that I would be helping people. So I knew that part of my job on earth was to reach out and to teach people. You know, one of the things, George, that I felt so strongly about is, you know, I came from like an A-type environment. You know, when you grow up on a vegetable farm, you are working a lot of hours, and it's no different than New York City and all of the hustle and bustle there. And I wanted to be able to find a way that A-type personalities could accept and acquire the same skills that, you know, the mystics or the spiritual types already had going for them, because I felt that those are the people that needed it and wanted to be able to have it, but they wouldn't be able to take it on unless they could have some kind of proof. And that's why I wrote Be a Genie.
Good point. Let's go next to Jeff in Cleveland. Hi, Jeff. Go ahead.
Hi, George. I am so jealous of you right now. I'm looking at minus 24 wind chill in the morning.
Oh, God.
Fun stuff. Okay, real quick. I'm glad you mentioned mass consciousness, because this is something I've been wanting to mention to you for a long, long time. Are you familiar with the 100th monkey theorem?
I am, and I wrote about it, actually, in the book. It is considered an urban myth, but I also wrote that shortly after I, you know, decided it was an urban myth, and that even though I had been teaching it for a long time myself, that there was a story in the newspaper about a group of dolphins that had figured out how to unhook a fish bait net near Mexico, and within 24 hours, a different group of dolphins in a different bay on the New England coast had figured out how to unhook that same kind of trap. And it kind of, you know, put the whole thing in full circle. That whole business of the 100th monkey, for those of you who have not heard this term, is that the premise was a certain female monkey learned how to wash her fruit, and then she taught it to her family, and then they taught it to the rest of the island, and supposedly spontaneously on a different island, they also started doing it. And the idea is that in mass consciousness, when an idea comes to the fore that it is available for many people. Now, I happen to agree with you, Jeff, that it is a real phenomenon in general, because think about things like Alexander Graham Bell. He was not the only man to invent the telephone. He was just the first guy to the patent office. And there's lots of cases like that where people have invented something, and then they discover that there's 20 other people that are working on the same thing. I will never forget the time that my first husband was talking to a research agent about the greenhouse operation that he was running. This guy was explaining this elaborate system that they had created and how it was working really well. And my husband said to him, "Would you like to see it in a commercial operation? We've already got that going."
You know, let me ask you, Maureen, too, with all that has been happening on this planet right now, how difficult is it? Are there outside forces that try to pull all this down, to tear it apart?
Yes, but they're on the wane. They've lost their green card, and they're not supposed to do what they're doing, and they've all been put on notice, as far as I'm concerned. And so, yeah, there are those that would have us fail. And all we have to do is realize those guys don't have any power anymore. You don't scare us. And it changes the energy. And suddenly, whatever we were afraid of or whatever we were, you know, bucking, everything shifts.
Everything shifts.
So, yeah, that was the old game, but it's not the current game.
Next up we go first-time caller, Kenny in Cincinnati. Hey, Ken, go ahead.
Hi. I just want to say thanks for calling and I've seen some weird things in my life, and I've seen so many materialized objects and make them go through walls and all that. I'm reading a book from Saint Germain.
Yeah,
it's called Unveiled Mysteries. It's from 1930, and it mentioned it in the book, and how does one tap into, like, I guess it's a Christ conscious frequency, like.
I would refer you back to the movie Ghost. And if you recall, from another level of dimension, it's not a barrier, because you would put your hand through a wall. So really, it's like we've got a mass consciousness rule that says we don't put our hands through walls. But there are people that have done this. There are people who have, Uri Geller comes to mind, where he's done things that you're not supposed to be able to do. And so it's a matter of shifting consciousness and being aligned with the divine. And it's also if you've agreed to be part of that rule-breaking segment. Because, after all, we're here for a reason. We're here to participate in the reality. We're not here to, you know, do something else. So we have somebody or one or two people that show us that it's possible. We read about it in a book like Unveiled Mysteries. And we know it's true. And then what that does is it opens up our consciousness. Well, if that's possible, then I ought to be able to at least do this. You know, there's a great story about the man who broke the 3-minute mile barrier.
You mean the 4-minute mile?
4-minute mile. Roger Bannister.
Yeah.
Thank you.
If he broke the 3-minute, he'd be a rocket ship. Hold on, Maureen. I'll let you tell the story when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Plus, we'll take final phone calls with you. Split show for you tonight. But similar topics. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we're going to come back in a moment. Final phone calls with Maureen St. Germain, her book, Be a Genie. Split show for you tonight. You know, we were talking earlier with our Gary Patterson about his appearance on Beyond Belief. Our television program had a lot of fun with him talking about music and the ominous group of 27. You can watch Beyond Belief. You get 10 days free. It is becoming one of the fastest-growing internet-based television shows. Simply go to this website, fill out all the information, and a lot of people are sticking around forever. That's a long time. Just go to beyondbelief.com. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Maureen St. Germain with us. Maureen, what was the story about Roger Bannister cracking the 4-minute mile barrier?
Right. So as you were saying, he broke the 4-minute mile, and that was back in 1954. Back then, the conventional wisdom was that an athlete could not run a mile in less than 4 minutes because the human heart would burst from overexertion. Roger was a medical student. He was already doing his internship, and he was an amateur runner on the side who didn't have very much time to practice. But he believed that that conventional wisdom was wrong. So he broke the four-minute mile barrier on my son's birthday, May 6, 1954, not the year he was born, but the date. Anyway, while there was a better trained athlete, several actually, in far superior condition than him, all over the world, Bannister was the first one to break the record. A week later, three other athletes who had believed it was impossible also broke the record. And then they went on to do what was later called the race of the mile of the century. And there were two runners that won this distinction of having beat the four-minute mile. An Australian runner, John Landy, as well as Bannister, ran in under 4 minutes. And this is a classic example that mass consciousness believes one thing because that's what we believe until somebody decides, well, wait a minute, maybe we could do something different.
When you do this, do you see immediate results?
Sometimes, yes. And many times, yes. I think a lot depends upon how consistent you are in the work you're doing. I will never forget the time that I had my car fixed and the rear end was just touched up. You know, my kids had hit a few things in the back ends. And so I took it to the shop because I wanted to have a nice car. And then after I got back from the shop, I looked at the front end and I thought, well, what was I thinking? I should have had them do the front end. You know, I really want a new front end. The very next day I hit a deer.
See, you're lucky. But the deer wasn't. Poor deer.
I'm very fortunate.
What happened to the deer? No more?
The deer got up and ran away. I'm like you. What happened to the deer? Is he okay? Yes, he was. Not only that, but I went over a hill, and at the bottom of the hill was the police car. So I pulled over. The lady behind me, who had seen the whole thing, pulled over, and she got out of the car and went up to the policeman and said, I saw the whole thing. And, oh, by the way, she was personal friends with the policeman. He gave me the report I needed for the insurance, and all I had to do was make one phone call.
Reminds me of Tombstone. You ever see that?
No. No, but it sounds like I should.
Well, you should. And read up about the tombstone of Lester Moore.
Okay.
That fits everything you're doing. Let's take some final calls here. Let's go to El Paso, Texas. Hello, Gary. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, welcome, Gary. Go ahead.
Okay, my daughter, is 7 years old, and she has been seeing spirits ever since she was about 3.5, 4 years old. And not all spirits are angry. Not all spirits are staying here because they don't want to go to the other side. I'm Native American, and we've seen spirits all our lives. And as far as time goes, I was in downtown L.A. I went to catch the bus at 6 o'clock in the morning. When I got to the bus station, I was about 6 blocks away. The bus was going to leave at 5 minutes after 6. I got there at 6 o'clock. I don't know how that happened, but I'm a blind man, and
jeez,
it takes me a long time to get to where I'm going to go.
I guess so. Remarkable, and, Gary.
Hey, so it's just time has a different kind of... It's like Maureen was saying, that time isn't relative as everybody thought it was.
Well, that's a good point, Gary. And how many people have had time stand still, Maureen, where you lose gaps of time? Does that ever happen to you when you're driving?
Yes, it does. And it's happened to me where I'm just walking from one point to another, and I think, how did I get here? And I've had lots of clients tell me that, too, where they have missing gaps of time where they don't know, walking down a hallway in their office. They land in their desk, and they look up, and they think, I don't remember walking past this guy's office and this guy's office and this guy's office. So, yeah, and I want to also emphasize what Gary was saying. He's right. There's a lot of really good spirits. What we were talking about is the entities that aren't allowed to be here. The spirits that Gary's talking about are the spirits that have earned the right to come back and be helpers. It's a whole different category. So it's not quite the same. There's a really good point, though, that we want to emphasize, that there's lots of good spirits. And certainly I pray to them and call them in as well. And good on your little girl and, you know, your whole family that supports this one who's seeing spirits. It's probably giving you good information.
We're going through some strangely, are we going through these times that I don't know. Some people think we're going to pull out of it.
I do. And I think we're going to pull out of it. It kind of reminds me of my flight yesterday. I was flying from the West Coast through Chicago to New York, and my plane approached the runway. I could see the runway. I could see the buildings. And all of a sudden, without any warning, the pilot pressed on the gas, and we took a nose up, and we went back up. And a half an hour later, we approached again.
Oh, boy.
And, you know,
don't
5 like minutes them. Later, he said the plane in front of us was too close, and we decided that it was not a good idea to land, so we aborted our landing.
Better to be safe than sorry.
Exactly. And I was so impressed because of the way that plane responded. It was very cool.
Go to Wichita, Kansas. Eric's with us. Erica, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, I know it is synchronicity tonight that this was the show that you had on, because like 3 hours ago, I kind of had this conversation / argument with one of my friends across the country about this. But what I was calling about was I wanted to know, Maureen, have you any experience in the solfeggio tones and, you know, raising your vibration, and if that's a good thing, why it's a good thing? Why wouldn't it be a good thing? Anything along those lines?
I have experienced this from someone who does do that work. And because I am very tuned in, I could actually feel an activation in my physical body. And I would say to you that if you're attracted to that, by all means, you should pursue it, you know, follow your guidance. But that's another way to help your body tune up. You know, the solfeggio and the sacred geometry are similar in that either looking at sacred geometry or using the ears, you're allowing the body to tune. So it's like an orchestra that needs to be tuned. You know, the orchestra sits down, but everybody has to make their instrument match to the A that is set as the standard. So when people get this additional boost, it means we're getting tuned up to be more than we used to be. And this is one way to anchor that higher vibration in the body with grace and ease.
Next up, first-time caller, Chris, San Antonio, Texas. Welcome to the program, Chris.
Hi, thanks, George. How are you doing?
Great.
Thanks, Maureen, for the show tonight. I just had a question. I kind of tuned in a little late, but I heard just a brief comment about Uri Geller and, you know, a few others being able to demonstrate some abilities and things. But the thing that really stands out in my mind is remembering Randy, was it the amazing Randy, James Randy,
mm-hmm.
having him on the Carson show and putting him on the spot with all the spoons, and he couldn't do his, you know, a spoon bending trick. And I've just, ever since then, like anything the guy does, I automatically think, you know, there's some kind of trickery behind it. And I'm not sure if that's really legitimate. I mean, how do you feel about that? Do you think there's a lot of people out there that pretend to have abilities and they're, you know, it's just, you know, simple illusion, like, you know, a magician doing a magic trick or something?
Well, Geller had told me that he did definitely choked on the Johnny Carson show. He just wasn't able to do his little bending. And, but he, you know, he's remarkable. Edgar Mitchell, Apollo 14 astronaut, he told me an incredible story about Uri Geller, and he believes in him. Maureen, what do you think of things like that? Literally being able to move matter.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for that great answer, because you really bailed me on that one. I do think people can move matter. I haven't been able to do it. I haven't tried to do it. It's not been my interest. So I don't know. But I do think that Chris's question about, are there charlatans out there? And the answer is probably there are.
Of course.
And you know, what you have to do is trust your gut, because your gut will tell you.
Well, there's charlatans everywhere. You got to be careful, don't you? So what's the main message you'd like people to get with Be a Genie?
I would like people to remember, most importantly, that one thing you can do every day is ask for a day of heaven on earth every day for yourself and everyone you meet, and watch the magic.
Sasha is in New York, Manhattan, that is too. Hi, Sasha.
Hi, Hezgone. Thank you. Thank you. I love the subject. I just have a really important question. Sure. Based on your study and execution of quantum physics, I do practice some of those things that you were saying earlier in the program. And the question I have is that somehow something seems to backfire. And what happens is more times than not, whenever I say literally, verbally to someone, something as small as, I'm on my way to my friend's party. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be the biggest event of the year. Okay. That doesn't have much meaning to it, but I'm just using that as an example, all the way to me starting a brand new business or starting a brand new relationship with somebody and telling people about it before it actually happened, but I'm on my way to it happening, and I've got all my things in place to make it happen. It doesn't happen. It's like as soon as I say it, it's gone, and it gets sabotaged, and everything will go against it happening. Please tell me what that is and how to make that stop and turn it all around for a law of attraction that works.
Lots of people do what I call self-sabotage because they're either not ready, they don't believe in themselves, they have a wrong opinion of themselves about being worthy, you know, based on some craziness that might have happened in childhood. It's even happened to me. You know, I manifested a 3-book deal with a major publisher. And then 6 months later, they called me on the phone and said, you know, the investors who were coming in changed their mind. We're out of money. We can't do your book. We can't do your books. So one of the things that I learned in my case was when we're choosing to make something happen, we want to look at what we're also creating as the backside of it and write on that, do a meditation on that, and do your introspection about what is it in my world that would make me attract that. Sometimes it's because you need the experience. Sometimes it could be that perhaps it's coming across as inappropriate anticipation. You know, in the book, we say that when you're manifesting, you just tell one or two people. You don't tell everybody you talk to. You make a very clear, focused intention, and then you only share that with people who believe in you. You don't tell everyone because then their energy can be influenced. One of the things about the sacred geometry is there's an actual principle about allowing feedback to come into your system to affect your manifestation. And mathematically, I prove how it works, and then I show you in real time. But essentially, you choose to accept or reject the feedback that comes in. So even if it's your mother that's giving you feedback and she has good intentions, if her feedback isn't supporting what you're trying to accomplish, you have to choose to ignore it, even though you love your mother.
Time for a few more calls. Saskatchewan we go. Scott on the international line. Hi, Scott. You're on with us.
Hello. Hi. I would just like to reaffirm the idea of positive thought. I'm visually impaired from diabetes, diabetic retinopathy. I've had it for 31 years, and I kept losing jobs over and over again. And the only solution I could come up with was to start my own business. And as a matter of fact, I'm sitting here now in my office working as an accountant with my visual impairment because I believed in myself and praying to God to let it come true.
Well, it has come true for you, huh?
Yes, it has. And even all the doubters, being positive overpowered it.
Positive thinking. What do you think of that, Maureen?
Well, I think that's a really great point to make, and it allows me to answer one more time, you know, this whole business of what do you do when you have doubts and what works? And in the Genie system, there's two things that I will recommend to people that are real easy to acquire. One is to practice twofers. We talked about that at the beginning of the show. Think two positive thoughts. Every time you notice you're thinking a negative thought, just follow with two positives. And the second thing is give yourself permission to allow two versions of the reality. So just like you could buy a TV that gives you two pictures within the TV and you're watching two different stations at the same time, you do not have to accept one version of the reality as the only visual in your mind because your mind accepts what you see. So you allow you know, this version, which is not so hot. I'm not crazy about it. And then over here, this is the other version of my reality that I am gaga over and I absolutely love. And that's how I manifested my son's college tuition when I had no way to come up with an extra 10 grand every year for 4 years.
Good for you. Good for you. Let's go to Denise in Modesto, California, first-time caller. Denise, let's squeeze you in. Go ahead.
Yeah, great show, George. I love you to death. I've been listening to Coast to Coast since about 94. Anyway, I wanted to call in because I wanted to, there was some mention a while back about how the conscious belief is we cannot put our hand through a wall, you know, even though we probably could, but we believe that we can't, so we don't. And my son committed suicide in 1994, and I knew that he needed me desperately on the other side. And synchronicity started taking over. Somebody mentioned a book about Raymond Moody's reunions about mirror gazing. And I just felt like I pushed through there was a wall between this life and the other dimension. And I knew that he needed me, and I pushed through that wall. I could sense it. And I started mirror gazing, started going through to the other dimension and communicating with him. So I wanted to affirm what had been said earlier about, because there is a collective consciousness that we cannot do things, we believe we can't, but we can if we believe that we can.
It's that positive attitude. It's when you start saying you can't, you never will. Maureen, we're almost out of time. Give us your websites, would you?
Yes. MaureenSaintGermain.com will take you to my website. You can get my books on Amazon. You can get my books on my website. If you are interested in our free download for you, you can go to GenieSystem.com and pick up the free download, or you can get it from my website. Either one will work.
Great. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you being on the program. But it continues. Do you quantum think? That's next on Coast to Coast AM.